you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I'm sure you can envision Vince Lombardi standing at the blackboard as you hear him talking about seal here and seal here and run the ball down the alley. One of the catalysts for that famous Green Bay Packers sweep, it was guard Jerry Kramer. And he's joining us right now over the phone. Jerry Kramer, a five-time NFL champ. Of course, he was a part of Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II championship teams in Green Bay. And last year, he was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jerry, you've mentioned so many players, so many former players. I mean, Paul Hornung. We've talked about Bart Starr. I mean, you got guys like Jim Taylor, Willie Wood. I mean, we can go on and on and on. I mentioned there are 12 Hall of Famers from the Green Bay Packers during Lombardi's era. Who was the best football player that you played with during that time? And another one I didn't even mention is Ray Nitschke on the defensive end. So who was the best football player that you played with?
Boy, Nitschke was a great athlete. He was a wonderful basketball player. I played golf with him one day. Jan Stenerud played. We played he and Wood, so we had a pretty good bet on the day. Nitschke shoots 67 on a good golf course, kind of a tough golf course. So you wouldn't think he would be that delicate, but he was a wonderful athlete. Another great athlete that kind of got lost in the shuffle there. He played with us for a while, then he went to Detroit to try to save his family and his marriage, and so. It was Ron Kramer. Ron Kramer was a tight end who weighed about 265, who was about 6'4". He was just a sensational athlete. He was an All-American basketball player. He threw the shot put 60 feet. He high-jumped over 6 feet. Just an incredible athlete. And, you know, things had been a little different here, a little different there. Ron would have been in the Hall of Fame at this point. And Bart was our quarterback, but Bart was not a good athlete. Bart was homemade and styled by Bart Starr. He did what he did, and he did it as well as he could possibly do it, and it fit into the scheme, and he grew in the scheme to where he became a great football player. But he wasn't a great athlete. He didn't play golf like Nitsch. He didn't jump like Ron or any of the other guys, but he did his job superbly. And that's what we were all about. And there was a feeling on that team, too, that you didn't want to let the guys down. I played with broken ribs. I played with concussions. I played with all kinds of wonderful injuries. And somebody said, why? I said, I didn't want to let the guys down. I could still play. I could still go. I'm okay. Let me go. And so it was that whole team and that team feeling of supporting one another and sacrificing for one another and not letting the team down. And so the athletes were varied athletes, and some of them were great football players, some of them were great at other things, but they all came to the game on Sunday morning at 12 noon and got ready to play, and they played their hearts out. Let them.
Again, we're being joined right now by former Green Bay Packer, NFL Hall of Famer, and five-time NFL champ Jerry Kramer over the phone right now. Jerry, you mentioned that you played with some pretty brutal injuries, and in reading some of your work and reading up on your career, I found this astonishing that in 11 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, you had 22 surgeries, yet you still managed to rack up five-time first-team All-Pro, a member of the 1960s All-Decade team, finally a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, three-time Pro Bowler, and really five championships. The fact that you had 22 surgeries in 11 seasons, how in the world did you do it in that day and age where the medical field wasn't nearly as advanced as it is today?
Well, there was maybe stubbornness, maybe a variety of possibilities. But I had some kind of goofy things happen to me. I ran a stick in my groin just above my leg when I was a kid. 15 years old, and it broke off coming about half inch from coming out my back. It broke off, and we went in and operated and removed a 7.5-inch splinter about as big as my thumb from my spinal area. And 11 years later in 64, I developed a tumor on my liver. I have 9 operations that season. So I developed the tumor. They work on that. Then they find a intestine with a puncture in it. I go to Mayo. They resect the intestine. The resection burst fills the abdominal cavity with stool. Now I wake up. I'm under anesthetic, but I'm waking up a little bit, and the guy's burning the hole in the intestine hanging out my side. And I said, "What are you doing? I'm making you a colostomy." I said, "And what is a colostomy?" And he said, "Well, you're going to vacate in the bag for a while." I'm going to what? I'm going to vacate in a bag. How am I going to do that? Well, we'll show you. It's got an apparatus to put on your side, and da, 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 da. So a week later, I'm 179 pounds. I got infection in my stomach. I got all kinds of problems and complications. But we finally get on top of them, and I go back to Green Bay. And another player had died, an older Green Bay player at that time. And some people just heard parts of the news, and they assumed that it was me. So I'm sitting in my doctor's office, and the doc picks up the phone and goes, No, he's fine. No, he's right here in front of me. No, he's okay. I said, What's that about? Oh, nothing. I said, what was that about? Oh, somebody heard you died, a writer from Milwaukee or somewhere heard you died and wanted to know what I knew about it. And I told him, you're fine. So I go home, and the babysitter's calling, I hear about Jerry. So I go to my barber, you were a heck of a guy a little bit ago, now you're a jerk again. We decide to have a wake. I mean, what else would you do when you're there for your death and your celebration? So we had a party. One of the guys brought a keg of beer. One brought a headstone. Several of them brought flowers. I had about 25 guys and their wives come over to the house for a party. So I just had a lot of accidental things, and I knew where I was. When I came back after that season, I got on the field about at 2:20, something like that, and Coach Lombardi didn't want to let me on the field. He said, no, I can't depend on you. I want you to go home. I'll take care of your hospital bills. We'll take care of your salary, take care of everything. I just want you to go home. Coach, I'm not going home. If I quit now, I'll probably never play again. This is the 65 season. Start of the 65 season. So I argued with him for 40 minutes, and I wouldn't leave. I was going to sit there for the rest of the week if that's what it took. And he finally said, okay, I'm going to put you with the defense. So I went out on the field at about 2:30. This was a month or so before camp opened. And I started to run a couple laps, jog, and my lungs seized up, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get any air at all. And I'm about a lap and a half through the jog of 3 laps, and Don Chandler comes over. What's wrong, pal?
Can't breathe.
So I just couldn't breathe. And he said, well, how much did you run? And I motioned a lap and a half, and he goes, well, I'll run the other lap and a half. So he ran the other lap and a half for me because I couldn't handle it. And then when we went to sit down to do calisthenics, he came over and sat beside me, or laid beside me, or stood beside me, whatever the case may be. And he said, look, you do what you can do. If they do 50 push-ups and you can only do 5, I'll do the other 45. I'm a kicker, and I don't have to do anything like that. So I'll do what you can't do. If they do 50 push-ups, you do whatever you can do, and I'll do the rest. Everything. So he sat beside me, Jordy, for 36, 37 days. And at the end of that time, because he was there encouraging me and being a teammate and being a friend, I was able to do all the calisthenics and all of the exercises, and they put me back on the offense. And we won in 65, 66, 67. I wrote my books in 67 to start there. And the whole world turned around because I just wouldn't quit. I just wouldn't give up, and I hog-headed enough to think that I could get it done. And because I had a teammate who was a great pal and a great teammate, we got it done.
Jerry, you talk about your works as an author, and I know you've done some tremendous stuff as recently as about a decade ago, if I'm not mistaken. There's also a new film in the works as well, and we have to talk about this because it just kind of adds, I guess, telling your story, correct?
Yeah, you know, Jody, it's called You Can If You Will, the Jerry Kramer story, and we are doing a Kickstarter. Go to the Kickstarter website and put in Jerry Kramer, and we're got a bunch of prizes, all kinds of stuff as awards at different levels, starting at $6, go to $5,000. So we're talking to the Packers about doing things with it. And the title, You Can If You Will, was something my sophomore in high school coach said to me one day on the practice field. As a sophomore, I was as gangly and as awkward and as, you know, growing spurts as any sophomore, and I was kind of down and wasn't playing that well and wasn't doing anything that well, it didn't seem like to me. And he came up to me and grabbed my hand, and he said, "Son, you got big hands, and you got big feet, and one of these days you're going to grow into them, and then you're going to be a whale of a football player." And he started to walk away, and then he looked back at me. This is an older gentleman, about 60 years old, our line coach, and he looked up at me and he said, "You can if you will." And I goes, "Can what? If I will what? What?" And he just smiled at me, kind of an enigmatic smile, and walked away. And he left me to think about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I decided that it was up to me. And if I had the burn, if I had the drive, if I had the hunger, if I had the discipline, the commitment, the consistency, all of the qualities that are necessary to succeed, if I had some of that, then I might be able to play the game. And so I worked at the game. I struggled with the game. I focused on the game, and I gave the game my heart. And lo and behold, it worked out. It happened to be, and it's just been such an incredible journey. From Sandpoint High, from a little kid, little towhead in Jordan, Montana, where I was born. I was about 3 years old. My mom had a picture of me wearing custom-made pants that she had made. I had a custom-made shirt that she'd made out of a flour sack. But I was standing on the porch looking out at the world, and my sister sent me a copy of that picture and said, "From 3 to 83. What a journey, Jerry. What a journey. So if we can encourage folks in the film to take their shot, to do their thing, to have the discipline, to do things right all the time and make the effort, have a dream, then we'll be comfortable.
You say you can if you will, and I know that that was prominent in your Hall of Fame speech as well, Jerry. And before I let you go, I have to ask you this question. After decades of being left out of the Hall of Fame, and again, so many writers and so many pundits were on your side, it was a travesty that it took this long to get you into the Hall of Fame, to put you into Canton. What was it like when you finally got the call that said you were being enshrined to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I had my little emotional tippy boat had just tipped over a number of times when I got disappointed. I was nominated 10 times prior to the time that I got nominated and finally got in. So I got angry, and I'm saying, "Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Life is good. I'm fine. And I don't want to go. Even if they call me, I'm not going." So I got all pouty and fussing them around about it. And somewhere in the middle there, after one of the nominations, the 97 nomination, I guess, I'm angry and disappointed. And I stopped and thought about it, and I said, "You know, the game has been a wonderful thing for you. It's been a wonderful experience. You've been on the all-100-year team, the all-50-year team, the all-time Packer team, top 10 Packers, on and on and on. It's been a wonderful experience. And if you don't get into the Hall, you're not going to let one experience you didn't get or one honor you didn't get ruin the other 99, are you? That would be kind of stupid." And I goes, "You know, it really would. It's been a wonderful ride. It's been a wonderful experience. I was so fortunate with the players that I was able to play with the coach that we had, with the record we had, being in Green Bay. All of that was conducive to me being a better football player, and I was so fortunate to be a part of it. So when it came down to the knock on the door, we were supposed to be in our rooms between 3 and 4 o'clock in Minneapolis where they were voting, and David Baker, the chairman of the Hall of Fame, would come knock on our door if we were selected, and the janitor would come knock on our door if we were not selected. And he'd move us out of the room. So I'm waiting 3:30, and I'm thinking, you know, the seniors are going to be a little earlier, so they should be here by 3:30 if we're going to make it. And it's 3:30 passes, 3:33, 3:35, 3:36. There's a knock on the door. And I got 20 people in the room, my children and family and everybody, and everybody's cheering and carrying on and going, yay. And I go over and open the door, and it's the maid. And she's, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she hasn't been able to clean the room yet, and she wants to know if we're going to leave one of these days. And so we got rid of the maid, and then it got really quiet, and the idle chatter had stopped, and the chatter of any kind had stopped, and so it was beginning to look kind of bad. And then there was Mr. Baker, the chairman, is 6'9", 400 pounds. And he knocked like 6'9", 400 pounds. So all of a sudden there was this boom, boom, boom on the door. And it shook the room and the building and certainly the door. And I get about 10 feet from the door and I go, who is it? And being the smart aleck, of course, I knew it was him. And I opened the door, and he's giggling. And he gives me a big hug. And I see the photographers behind him. There are 6 or 7 photographers. And I go, Mr. Baker, you are the most beautiful man I have ever seen anywhere, anytime. And it meant so much to be successful at getting into the Hall of Fame finally. And I don't know how I would have handled another defeat, but thank Lord I didn't have to. So it was a wonderful moment. The Canton experience was a whole new thing, Jody. The guys that had watched me play, the guards, the guys that I had impacted, and just were gracious and wonderful and beautiful. And the ring ceremony in Green Bay, all my children got to go down on the field at halftime. 80,000 Green Bay fans cheered us, and so there were so many beautiful, wonderful, memorable parts of it that it's just hard to get it all together in 20 minutes. So,
well, Jerry, it has been really an honor to talk with you over the last half hour or so, not only about your career, but the experiences and the stories as well. I could seriously sit here and listen to you talk for hours. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know we are just about out of time. I want to thank you once again, and we'll look forward to the film. You can, if you will. I know it sounds very interesting, and again, we'll have more information for the listeners on that as it gets a little bit closer. But Mr. Kramer, thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks, Jody. Pleasure being with you.
Again, that's Pro Football Hall of Fame guard Jerry Kramer. What a pleasure to get him on the show for two segments. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Drive Time Sports on demand whenever you would like at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can hear interviews like this with Jerry Kramer and other national sports guests, including guests from the local scene as well. We are out of time on the show today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Be safe. I am out.